Oh, okay. You ready? Pastor Kim, could we start with prayer? Okay. Does anyone have a prayer request or anything? All right, then pray for me. So, Father, we just glorify you and thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Lord, we just yield ourselves to your voice. We yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask that you would just fill us with your revelation, Lord, concerning your word. And give us insight, Lord. We speak, Lord God, to everything in our lives that would try to be a mountain and command you to be uprooted and cast into the sea. In the name of Jesus, we declare, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done right now in our midst as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Hello to everybody this afternoon. And we have a lesson. It is Living in Freedom 101, Deliverance and the New Song. And so we're just going to follow the Holy Spirit through this. And what I want to do is just start out with us reading Psalms 40 and filling in the words there and then moving on to the rest of the notes, okay? All right. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. O my God, yes, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine enemies have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Okay, so Psalms 40 is like telling this huge narrative, really, of David's experience, his pit experience, and it's like a culmination of him expressing how, despite all of the different things he had gone through with Saul and with war and so forth, that in his trials, in his time of testing, in his time of tribulation, he sought to wait patiently for God. And so what I'd like us to do, as we have just read, is to ourselves look at our lives through the divine sight of the Holy Spirit and to take a lesson from this exhortation and praise and description of David's soul on how we are to approach walking through tribulation. So first we see that he waited patiently. And he said that the Lord had inclined his ear in the midst of him waiting patiently, and that God heard his cry. He was brought up out of a horrible pit, and then his feet were placed upon a rock. I'm just talking through Psalms 40. His feet were placed upon a rock. We know that rock is Christ Jesus. That rock is God's word. And God established his goings. And as he walked through that trial with his faith on God upon a rock, with his ways established, God, in the midst of that, put a new song in his mouth. That new song of praise unto God was something that others around him could see. People could see and then begin to fear God because of his stance that he took in walking through the tribulation. He decided to praise and worship God, and because of that, God put a new song in his mouth. And then he says, happy is everyone who trusts in the Lord, and that while walking through life, God's thoughts towards us are innumerable. They can't be counted. God preserves us in the midst of trials. And then we see down in verse 14 that his enemies that came against him would be made ashamed and confounded. And what were they seeking after? They were seeking after his soul. They came after his mind, his will, his emotions, and his imagination. To what? Destroy it. Isn't that something? How the enemy wants to totally destroy your soul. But he says, let my enemies be driven back. Let them be made ashamed who wish evil upon me. And then he says, Lord, let everyone like myself, let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad. And then we are to worship God continually and continually magnify him in the midst of all of this, because the Lord is continually thinking upon us. He is our help. He is our deliverer. And in the midst of worshiping God, he says, Lord, while I'm worshiping you, Lord, make no tearing. Oh, my God, God, come to my help. Come to my rescue. Okay, so that's just a quick summary of that. So let's move on to our next page, deliverance and the new song. So in the Old Testament has all of these stories that show the prophetic that is going on in terms of the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we see the Old Testament stories displaying for us examples of what it's like for someone who's a believer to overcome. So we're going to look at how they overcame and show and look at the New Testament to see how God has told us that we overcome. So I'm laying the foundation right here. They were a picture and type of those who overcame, and we in the New Testament, because of what Jesus did from the foundation of the world, we too overcome. All right, so Jesus told the disciples to expect trials. He begins in John 16 by stating, these things I have spoken to you. And why has he spoken them? So that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogues, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. He ends that chapter in a similar vein in verse 33, and he says, these things I have spoken to you, and these are mine. Why? So that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So the Lord has told us that he has already kept us from stumbling and that he's already given us peace in the midst of our tribulations. And so why, you know, wonder as to the fact that we go through trials? Even though we walk through tribulation, God has already overcome the world. He's already made it possible for us not to stumble, and he's already given us the provision of his peace while walking through tribulation. Okay? So let's look at some definitions. Tribulation, a cause of great trouble or suffering. And then I have the question, what is the pit? And I asked that question because back in Psalms 40, we saw where David said he had been thrown into a pit. And the pit is, it could be anything of a number of life's trials. It is any circumstance where you feel like you cannot free yourself. Examples of a pit experience could be poor health, the loss of your job, former friends that turned against you, an unfaithful mate, rebellious children, or any other overwhelming problem. You may be responsible for being in your pit because of, you know, disobedience and so forth, or you may be a victim of the sins, plots, and schemes of men. So who, what, when, where, and how are pits dug? If you go and do an exhaustive, looking into God's word, I did some research, and the word of God says that men, evil men, throw men into pits. And I thought that that was amazing, because oftentimes we'll just think that we're walking through trials only because of men, but in the pit experiences, God is using the pit experience to reveal himself. And the word of God says that Jesus went to the pit for us, though, from the very foundation of the world. He went to the pit. He went to the pit and got the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and snatched away from us that identity of being those who have to live the pit experience. So even though we walk through trials and tribulations, that is not our identity. We are overcomers over everything because of what Jesus did. So we're going to look at what our experience, what our identity is to be as we walk through tribulation, as we walk through pit experiences. What is our stance? What is our heart response to a tribulation to be? And we can know that God has already shown us that we can do all things through him who strengthens us, and that as we walk through it, our identity is that because Jesus overcame, we too overcome. All right, so Proverbs 26 and verse 27. Here are the people who dig pits. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. Now, isn't that interesting? Any enemy of yours that tries to harm you or dig a pit for you, that stone will roll back on him, and anything that he does will come back on him. Psalm 7:15. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he made. Ecclesiastes 10 and 8, he who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. And then Psalms 35 and 7, for without cause they hid their net from me, without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Now you probably in scripture can think of people immediately who had pit experiences. One of them is Daniel. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, and when you go into researching it, it's a pit. A den of lions is the same thing as a pit. But what was Daniel's stance in the midst of that pit? All of the other leaders who served the king with him, that came up with this plan, and they said, hey, how can we, you know, get Daniel out of the running for being, you know, alongside the king and so forth. And so when Daniel was, when they came and they came up with that plan, Daniel was not swayed against keeping his heart stance towards God. As in Psalms 40, it says we're to magnify God. Daniel continued to magnify God despite the threat. And so once he was then thrown into the pit, the Bible says that Daniel did not fear any harm. That nothing by any means was able to hurt Daniel because he kept his eyes on God. And when I looked at that years ago and studied that, I said, wow, that is so phenomenal. The Lord gave me a revelation that in the Old Testament, here it is, Daniel kept his eyes on God. And because he did that, because he worshiped God, because he praised God, nothing by any means could hurt him. And where do we hear that in the New Testament? We hear that in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that God has given us authority over all the power of the enemy, and that nothing by any means can hurt us. So when we keep our eyes on God, when we worship him and magnify him and see our identity as that of being those who have authority over all the power of the enemy, the result of that is that nothing by any means is able to hurt us. I just think that is so phenomenal that if we really do embrace our God-given identity as to who we are in this world, that we have a pavilion around us, we have a shield about us. The Lord is the glory and the lifter of my head. That we have the helmet of salvation and every armor, every provision, and nothing by any means because of God's provision can hurt us. Now, where is the hurt really trying to come to? Is it the body? No, the Lord says, don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear the one who can kill the soul. So really the whole warfare is not really about your body. It's about the enemy coming against your soul, trying to destroy your soul. But when we have the identity that our soul anchored in the truth of who we are, that we do not have a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind, that we don't have to fear anything hurting us because we already have God's protection. The enemy will come at you like when Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. Boy, let me tell you, in the natural, to see a bunch of lions around you had to be, if you were looking at it from, you know, your natural identity, pretty intimidating to see them, you know, with their, the word testosterone comes to mind, but it's really the power of the lion. It's like they're walking around, they're stomping, and you've already, you know that the king has already used those lions to chew up many people before you. But Daniel, he knew the recourse for his actions already, that he would be punished in some kind of way possibly, right? But he didn't have any fear. And so here it is, he's thrown into the den, and I just put yourself there in that circumstance. You're thrown into the den, it's dark in there, you can smell all kinds of things going on because they're, you know, been living down there, and there's maybe some other carcasses of men before you that are down there. You see bones all chewed up. And Daniel gets down there and he's like, la, 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 la. I'm just going to worship God and magnify him over the circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that's a powerful thing to look at every circumstance. The enemy comes at us like a roaring lion. Not a lion, but like a roaring lion. He doesn't really have anything that could hurt us. But what he wants you to do is focus on the natural, to say, remember when Aunt Betty had cancer? Remember when this country was devoured? Remember? And he's bringing all this stuff, and then you start entertaining things. But if you really lock in to your real identity, that roaring lion coming at you can't really get you off your game. Just magnify God. Oh, instead of remembering all the times people were devoured, I'm going to remember all the times, Lord, that you saved me from my enemies. I'm going to remember all the times when I didn't have provision and you provided for me. I'm going to remember all the things that you say that you have for me, plans to prosper me, plans to not harm me, plans to give me hope in the future. Hallelujah. I see myself out of this circumstance, Lord Jesus. I see myself out of this darkness. I see that my enemy really does not have teeth that he can devour me with. I see your face. Feathers over me. I'm dwelling safely under the shadow of your wings. I am walking through your glory. I'm walking with freedom. The enemy has no walls that can contain me because you've already knocked them all down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, I just get so caught up because I love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's follow David's plan for getting out of a pit and his example of what to do. I just flipped over to the next page. And number one, the way out of the pit is to wait intently with the Lord. Remember, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's not always so easy, you know? But when we look at our identity, here's the thing. It is for those who connect to their real identity, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Patience. To say that I don't have the patience within me, I'm not trying to get patience. I actually have patience as a part of my identity. It's inside of me. I'm going to release the patience. Hallelujah. I'm going to release the free-flowing river of patience that's inside of me. It's an evidence of God's Spirit within me. So I'm going to release the patience. And then what is another one of your fruits? Long-suffering. He's actually given me the stamina and the strength to walk through this thing. I don't care how long it lasts, I have the long suffering of my God inside of me that has equipped me. And the word of God says that he will allow nothing to come upon you that he hasn't made a way of escape. So you have to guard your soul and guard your heart from the enemy coming against your soul. So the way out of the pit is to wait intently with the Lord. That means aggressively there. But when I also looked at the word intently, it reminded me of the word intention. That I am to have intention within this waiting. That it's not a kind of like a relaxed waiting where I don't have a plan. I have some intention and purpose and plans within the waiting. Okay, well, the enemy's coming against me in this way. I need to go ahead and eat the word into how God delivered others. I need to go ahead and fast and pray. I need to go ahead and sit and worship the Lord. And I need to go ahead and send my angels forth before me. It's an intentional waiting. So David says in Psalms 41, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Waiting on the Lord is a common theme in Scripture. And so, for example, in Psalms 37 and 7, we see, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret, do not fear because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out his wicked schemes. And again, in Psalms 37:9, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And again, Psalms 37:34, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you will see it. But what does it mean to wait on the Lord? All right, so we're not going to go into those seven clues right now, but I'm going to refer back to how in the story of Daniel, we saw the ones who had dug a pit or prepared a pit for Daniel, they fell into that pit. When the king came and saw Daniel still there, those guys and all their households were thrown into that pit. And we see that in Scripture, that every time an enemy would rise up to throw someone in a pit, that they were always punished with the same evil that they had prepared for the righteous. And so number two, waiting on the Lord means crying out to him for deliverance. In verse 13, he directly cries out, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. In verse 17, he repeats, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Number three, waiting on the Lord means trusting him alone. In verse 3, this is all talking about Psalms 40, David expresses his hope that because of his testimony of waiting on the Lord, others will also come to trust in him. In verse 4, as we've seen, he mentions how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. So let's refer back to verse 3. I'm going to go back and read Psalms 40 real quick and hopefully find my way back real quick. But it says that those who, let's see, it's in the very beginning of the psalm. He set his feet upon a rock, established goings, and he put a new song in my mouth and praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. All right, so whenever we are delivered, it's so key that we are the examples today's examples of deliverance, because we have the blessing of being able to look in Scripture, and we're the ones who can look and see and fear and trust in our God, because we're like, in the same way that God delivered Daniel, he's going to deliver me in the same way he delivered David, right? We can look at that. And so today we are to be those examples of those who are established so that many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. There's someone in your life who is looking at your testimony who needs to see and trust in the Lord. Lord, because of what you're trusting God to bring you through. It's so important that we realize that as we triumph, we make it possible for others who aren't triumphant to then say, ooh, I fear God, because I know only God could have delivered that person from what they're going through. They said they were trusting and believing God, and I thought they were crazy talking about they're already healed, you know. But look at them. They're still here. They're still rejoicing. They still have joy. And when you're going through the circumstance, you're not walking through it with the confession of the world, talking about everything that could happen to you and how you may not have tomorrow and how, you know, you're probably going to go to level 10, you know. No, you're saying, you know what my expectation is? God said he healed me. And so therefore it is finished. If God said it is finished, then it is finished. God is not a man that he can lie, nor is he the son of man that he has to repent. If God said it, will he not do it? Hallelujah. Yes. We have to be the ones today to declare so that others around us can see and fear our God. God has put a praise in our mouth. Remember, it's many shall see and fear. And he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So it's important that you praise the Lord. Praise him freely for what he has done for you and what he is doing for you and what he's going to do for you. Let others around you hear your boldness in magnifying him for something that we may not be able to see in the natural already, but you talk as just as with the like a revelation, like I have something in the bank. It's already mine. It is finished. I have it. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go back to that other page. All right. So I'm on, let's do number three just to make sure I covered it all the way. I'm on in verse four, as we've seen, he mentions how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust. All right. So number four, waiting on the Lord means recounting his many wonders and his providential care. As David waits on the Lord, he thinks about who God is and what he has done. He says, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. You know, excuse me, I'm trying to get back to just being so thankful for everything, to recount God's blessings in a greater way. I think it's something that we as the body of Christ really need to get back to, is to being thankful. Because, you know, there's so much going on in our world. There's so many things changing around us. And I think it's important for you to look at some sugar and say, oh, I got sugar. Hallelujah. You know, to look at just simple things. I, you know, will look at my son and I'll say, wow, I am so blessed. I have a son. He loves God. Look at my husband. Oh, praise the Lord for my husband. And just people around me. You know what? You are a beautiful man of God. I'm so thankful for you. You know, the Lord, he's so blessed by your faithfulness to come and hear his word. God rejoices over you. You're such a blessing because you're an example of men of God in the world today. He wants to use you. You know that? He's using you powerfully already. I am so thankful for you. You know? For us to be so intentional with our thanksgiving. This morning when I got up with the activity in my limbs, I didn't do it on my own. I did it because God's breath of life breathed in me. And he said, Veronica, I have an assignment for you today. And my assignment for you today is to, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, to do it all to my glory, Veronica. Veronica, I want you to be intentional about loving the body. I want you to be intentional about being a giving person. Veronica, I want you to have the mind of my kingdom. In my kingdom, there's no darkness, Veronica. In my kingdom, there is no fear. In my kingdom, there is only strength. I'm strong in you, Lord, and in the power of your might. And anything that I see as my not being able to do it, I'm looking at it through the wrong lens, because I'm not looking at it through the lens of Jesus, who is inside of me, is able to do all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that I can do all things through you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. So let's look at number 5. Waiting on the Lord means obeying him. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. The application for us is that when we're in a pit, we must focus on continuing to obey the Lord. Even if he does not deliver us quickly, the devil will tempt us to give up trusting in the Lord and to seek fulfillment in other ways. He will whisper, God isn't meeting your needs. Have you ever had that happen before? When something wasn't happening as fast as you wanted it to, the enemy wanted you to start doubting the word, and he does it in all kinds of sneaky little ways where you're like, well, I'm praying and I don't see no results. I've been quoting this scripture for 25 years and I still ain't healed. I'm sorry. But you just see it in so many ways. But that is not your real identity. That is not the spirit of God. That is the spirit of complaining, and it got a lot of people in the Bible in trouble. Murmuring and complaining. No, we need the mind of Christ to know it is finished. It is done. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even though I don't see it, that I call it forth from the spirit realm into the natural in the name of Jesus. And what I need in this moment is an injection of thankfulness. What I need in this moment is an injection of praising you and thanking you for all things. Hallelujah. So number 6, waiting on the Lord means seeking him. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. In this context, seeking the Lord is a synonym for crying out to him in expectant prayer. If you're seeking the Lord and not if you're seeking the Lord and not just deliverance from your pit, you won't forget about God after he delivers you. You ever done that before? You'd walk through something, and then as soon as it was over, you acted as if it was you who delivered yourself, and then you forgot to thank God for it. And then after you forgot to thank God for it, you started having that pain again, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I guess I'm not the one who healed myself after all, you know, and you're like, how is it that I took this new strength that God has given me? And now I can, I'm shopping everywhere and I'm doing everything with this strength that he's given me. And I'm not intentional about glorifying him and being on assignment with this new freedom that I have. So we have to stay mindful of what he's done for us. So waiting on the Lord, we got to continually seek him. Number 7, waiting on the Lord means rejoicing in him. We are to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. The joy is not just in the deliverance, but in the Lord who delivers. It means finding God as our eternal treasure so that we rejoice in all that he is, as well as in all that he does for us. And so God wants you to be able to, in the pit circumstance, worship him in the pit. Don't wait until you're out of it. Don't wait and say, well, I've praised you long enough, Lord, and I still don't see anything. No, continually praise him. Continually worship him. Keep your eye and your gaze on him, because the word of God has already told us Jesus had a pit experience for us. He bore the pit experience for you. You don't have to live in a pit experience, because the truth is that Jesus went and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He snatched it, gave you the victory over it, but He still says you're going to walk through tribulation, but the revelation is that as you walk through it, you already have overcome it. You already are giving him praise and thanksgiving and praise for the victory for what he's already done. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we declare that we are more than overcomers over every tribulation, every trial. And so repeat after me right now in Jesus' name. Say, Father, I declare that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I am victorious over every tribulation. I have your joy. I have your peace. I am thankful, and I will continue to magnify you every day. Amen.